Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have the pleasure of having Yael Zoldan on the line. Yael, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
That's great. I'm doing fantastic. So you're a freelance writer, and you've written several children's books, okay? And we'll talk about that in a moment. And you wrote a very, very nice article, which I read in the Jewish Action, which is basically the state of Orthodox kitlit.
Kitlit.
Okay. Right. What does that mean?
I think we're focusing on Jewish children's literature as opposed to the literature for everybody.
I got you. Okay. So kid means literature.
Right.
Kid literature. I got you. Okay, great. Now I got you. Wonderful. So the article is a very interesting article, and obviously you know a lot about it because you've actually written several books, haven't you? Right?
That's right. I've written 4 books, and then we have a 5th one coming out, God willing, Hanukkah time.
Really? So now all of them are with Feldheim?
They're all with Feldheim, and they're all for the little kid age range, 2 to 5, give or take.
2 to 5, okay. How do you make sure when you write these books, like from a reading point of view, are they made, I guess they're made for the parents to read to the kids, but the kids have to be able to understand it. How do you test that to make sure that the kids could really comprehend it?
Well, I mean, really the point of that, that's really the point of what editing is for, you know, someone who's been in the business for a long time and who knows what kids should listen to. I'm also a mother, so I have a, you know, in-house audience, and beyond knowing what the kids can understand, you also want to give them a little bit for them to reach for. You don't want to just be speaking to them in, you know, one-syllable words. You want to give them a little more than they can actually understand, so they have something to work at.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to actually write a book, like from the beginning, conceptual, to doing it, editing, you know, artwork, printing, and so on?
That's a good question. From the writing perspective, it can actually take me really fast. Some of these ideas seem to come to me almost whole, but the book itself probably takes give or take a year between everything, copy editing and, you know, and text and cover, especially Feldheim specifically publishes out of Israel, so the books have to come over on a boat. So it's quite a while from the time you put pen to paper to the time that you actually see a book.
Wow. So you've written 4 books, and so which one is the bestseller?
That's a good question. I actually think my first book, which has been republished many, many times, We Can Do Mitzvos from Aleph to Tough, is probably the bestseller because we're combining 2 important thoughts, mitzvos, right, and, you know, and the progression of the Aleph base. So that one does very well. You know, people have their own favorites for various reasons. I really like my new one coming out, Shemi Shambon. It's the 2nd in a series about a mischievous little guy who needs to learn some stuff, but we straighten him out.
Yes, this is a guy. He's called Shemi Shambon?
Yeah, the first book was Shemi Shambon Will Not Take a Bath, and the 2nd one will be Shemi Shambon Will Not Go to Bed. So those are more fun books. My other 3 books are more, maybe a little more teaching books, instructional a little bit.
So how did you get started? I mean, did you major in literature, or how did you learn to do this?
Not at all. I actually have a master's in public administration, and I was a care manager, which is what I thought I would be doing, first at Bethesda and then for the geriatric population. And I took a little bit of a break to raise kids and do, like, a mountain of laundry and 5,000 carpools. And in the midst of all that carpooling, I wrote a short story about my grandmother, just for my own, you know, for my own pleasure, really. And that story was anthologized, and it went on to a bunch of websites and a bunch of Jewish magazines, and it opened a lot of doors for me.
And then you realize this is something you could really do and you'd enjoy and so on, right?
I enjoy it. I can do it from home. I can do it on my own time. So that became something I didn't expect to happen, but I guess doors open when you don't expect them.
Listen, that's wonderful. That's great. And then the part about, like, having a series, I guess, is that once kids start to identify with the character, then it's unlimited because Shemi Shambon could be doing a lot of things, I guess, right?
Let's hope. I hope, unfortunately, it might sound wrong to say it, but I hope he has a lot of problems.
So in other words, he doesn't want to take a bath. He doesn't want to,
go to bed is the new one. But who knows? I can imagine him not wanting to go to school or the dentist or a whole bunch of other things.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. So we're going to watch Shemi Shambon grow up in a way.
In a way, I hope.
That's good. Okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, when, you know, the article is really about, you know, where have we gone over the years when it comes to Orthodox children's literature, and you really kind of give a history of what's going on. And I kind of was laughing when I remember the old Catan series that came out, and
right.
you know all the other things that used to come out. But there really wasn't all that much. I mean, today there seems to be a proliferation. You go into a Judaica store, and there's so many books. I mean, what's happened?
There's a huge proliferation for a number of reasons. First of all, the same thing happened in the secular market. Publishers are just putting out more and more. It may speak, you know, to some extent, I can't personally vouch for it, but it may speak to some extent to our appetites for constant new everything, our shorter attention span, maybe part of the internet or whatever. So we're seeing that in the secular world too, but certainly in the Orthodox sector, what happened was the secular books that are on offer became very inappropriate. There were years when we were growing up where, you know, the books were pretty powerful. They may not have been Jewish kids, but if you were reading Nancy Drew, she was Nancy Drew, and, you know, and it was okay. Today, the books that we see, especially for tweens and teens, it's very hard to find books for them. As a mother, I'm speaking as a mother, it's almost impossible. Older kids, you know, the books on the market are incredibly sexualized. Even the covers are offensive, and they offer a lot of information about alternative lifestyles, which most of us are uncomfortable with. It's not the way we want our kids introduced into adult relationships. It's entirely at odds with our value system.
So people started putting out other kind of books and books for particularly the firm world. What about another question? I'm just curious about this. I mean, in the sensitivity in the Orthodox Jewish world or our own little world, I mean, do you have to be very careful about, like, certain things about, let's say, with female, male, where even though they're little kids, I mean, or have people gone beyond, you know, I just saw something recently about how they, you know, you couldn't put an ad in the paper. They were advertising little girls' clothing, and the person said he couldn't put any pictures in. Do you ever have any problems like that?
Yes. I mean, certainly in the Jewish magazines, which have had a huge boon, Mishpacha, Ami, Bina, they have a policy of not putting women's faces in pictures at all. You know, and that policy obviously speaks to the rightest wing of their consumers. But, you know, to some of us, that's a very difficult concept to wrap our minds around, and certainly a very difficult concept to explain to our daughters. But even in younger children's books, we do see that. We see a publisher's incredible desire to not offend anyone. I think Yaffa Gans, in my article, who's, you know, a legend among Jewish writers, you know, she said, the publishers are trying to be super duper glot mahadran, you know, and it constrains the authors, it constrains the illustrators, it does, it's difficult. It's not hard to write a book about a kid who respects his parents, doesn't speak Lashon Hara, doesn't judge his fellow man negatively, you know, it's just hard to get a kid to want to read it.
Right, and if you really want to write a book about what's really going on, then people are people are super sensitive today, I find, to anything which is just a little bit, you know, not on the path, you know, on the right path as far as what they're concerned. I was curious about it because I was thinking about, well, I guess maybe some people would object. There would be some people probably who would object if you put out a book and, you know, they had some pictures of, you know, appropriate pictures, of course, you know, but just any kind of pictures at all of maybe of women or of little kids or whatever it is, a mother talking to a little child, you know, that could be a problem, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It's an amazing world we're living in, isn't it?
For better and worse, right?
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't particularly agree with it. I don't understand it, truthfully. I really don't understand it, and I think it's, you know, a reaction, an overreaction to maybe a few people who would be against it, but I think that, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, the beauty, you know, when you do things the right way, it's nice. There's a chain to it, and, you know, that's what we've always had. So, you know, but that's for another time and another discussion, but not for today, but that's okay. So now when you look at Jewish books, and the question really is, I mean, could they really compete, you know, with all the secular books the kids have today? They have so much. So, you know, how do you market it? Is it only through Judaica stores? Is there a lot of online sales going on, or what's happening out there?
That's a good question. Can Jewish books compete from a quantity perspective, obviously not. I mean, we're just a much smaller market, so that wouldn't happen. I guess what you're really talking about is if they can compete from a quality perspective.
Yes. Let's talk about the quality. Yes, let's talk about that. You know, would there be, let's say even in the Jewish world, the books that you're putting out, would they be of interest to Jewish kids who are not Orthodox?
Right. So that's a very, very fair question. But, you know, the books that I'm putting out with Feldheim, probably not. Even if the text is appropriate for people who are not Orthodox, they would likely be put off by the illustrations, which, you know, depict men in yarmulkes and little boys with tzitzis and women with their heads covered one way or the other. So maybe not. You know, the simplest answer is that if books are good, they can compete. If you have a good plot, if it's been edited properly, if it's a good book, it's a good book, and it shouldn't matter if it's a book about Indian culture or Jewish culture. Add to that the fact that there are some people who just aren't going to let their kids read anything that isn't from our world, so to speak. You know, they don't even need it to compete. But the more complex answer is, no, I don't think they can compete at this point. You know, they're not marketing the way the secular market is marketing. Again, if we speak to older readers, like the whole YA young adult genre, in the world at large, we're seeing a lot of, you know, sci-fi and fantasy and, you know, Harry Potter and Rick Riordan. That's not the stuff that we're seeing that Jewish authors put out. They're much more likely to stick with those tried and true formulas of mysteries and historical thrillers along the lines of the Marcus Lehman that we grew up with. And those are a lot less interesting to people, you know, in the current world, teens in the current world. Some of those authors don't even know that there are those genres available. And, you know, and it speaks a little bit to the fact that there is less honing of the craft among Orthodox writers, I believe.
Uh-huh. So when you look at, you know, let's say a book, if something is a really good seller, let's say you put out a book and it really sells, could you sell 10,000 copies, or is that too much?
There's very little transparency about number of sales. I've spoken to some friends of mine who are authors who have written secular books, and you find them in the library, and even they tell me, we have no idea. It depends a lot on the publisher's expectations for the book and how much of a budget they're going to assign for marketing and how long they're willing to leave it out there. The numbers that I've heard floating around in the secular market is probably 5,000 to 10,000 copies. In our market, 3,000 is maybe a minimum for a book that would be successful.
I see. Okay, so 3,000 books. And would you say a lot of the books that are going to be sold now? I mean, you know, as we get into the especially before Hanukkah, I guess, is that?
Hanukkah is a huge push for books.
Hanukkah for books is like food is for Pesach or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Hanukkah is when books sell, for sure.
I got you. That's interesting. That's very good. Now, are there any formalized programs to teach, you know, young people how to write books? I mean, you didn't really have any specific training. You did it, and you found out you liked it, and you were good at it. But do the schools offer anything like that at all?
Well, the schools offer, you know, language arts and maybe creative writing, but not really. For Orthodox writers, there isn't any specific, you know, in the world, there's like the Vermont College of Fine Arts. There are a lot of writing programs. We don't have any writing programs, really. The Jewish Book Council has an annual conference. I've been to it a couple of times, actually, but it's a one-day event. It's not a formalized program. It's more of a networking thing. I think the question is really, would we require a program specifically designed for Jewish writers? You know, because writing is a craft like any other. It needs to be honed and practiced. If you were a carpenter and you wanted to make beautiful challah boards, would you need to go to a Jewish carpentry class? You know, not really. It's a craft and it's a skill, and you could apply it.
Mm-hmm. I know that I'm speaking once to one of the editors of one of the, you know, magazines, one of the more popular ones, and he was telling me that one of the problems he has is getting really good writers, and he said that a lot of the writers that he was getting are people who are Balei Tshuva and who got a different kind of education, and they're the writers of his magazine, because he said he couldn't find that many who grew up in our world and, you know, graduated our schools.
That makes good sense. If you look at the yeshiva system as it is right now, you know, I have kids in high school, and many of them don't teach out of the original text at all. You know, if we did Shakespeare, they're not doing Shakespeare. So some of the newer crop of children's book authors who are educated in the writer wing sector of our school systems haven't really read that much English literature. They're missing genres. They're missing an elegance to the language. You know, they're missing character development and faceting of plot and things like that. you know, those are things that should be worked on.
Hmm. Now, I know the one, the group, the PJ Library, I've met the people who put that out. That's been a big boom to Jewish publishing and to kids' books, hasn't it?
So that's a loaded question, and you're going to get a lot of heated responses when you ask that question. PJ Library is a program of the Harold Grunspoon Foundation, and their mission is to supply kids who are registered from Jewish families between, I think, infancy and 8 years old with access to Jewish literature and books that are rooted in what they call the Jewish tradition of kindness and charity and integrity, being a mensch, those kinds of things. They have tons of subscriptions, 125,000 families, I believe, at this point. So you know that any book that's chosen as a PJ Library book is definitely going to be repeatedly published and very widely distributed, which is everybody's dream. But here's the catch. So in one way, it's great because they're bringing Jewish children's books to the forefront and they're creating an appetite for Jewish reading. But the catch is that their families can be intermarried and entirely unaffiliated. The only guideline is that they have to have one Jewish parent. So their submission guidelines, which I've looked at, say very clearly that their committee really focuses primarily on unengaged families when they're making their selections. So any submissions by an Orthodox published book or author is almost by definition going to be inappropriate for them, whether through text that assumes an understanding of halacha or an observance of mitzvos, or through illustrations, which, as I mentioned before, show, you know, traditionally dressed Jews. And if you look at their list of publishers, while they're publishing Jewish books, they're using very few books from Jewish publishers. They're looking at Jewish values, not Jewish practices. So a lot of their books are problematic for us. You know, there are going to be a lot of books about women rabbis and, you know, other acts that we have difficulty explaining to our children. This is not the kind of Judaism that we practice. So it's been a huge boon to Jewish books in the unaffiliated world, much less so in the Orthodox world.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything you could do to, you know, change your format for them so that you could get, you know, your books on their list? And, you know, obviously, if they have tremendous mailings. And
Absolutely. If I had a book chosen as a PJ Library selection, I'd do it dance a jig. I'd be so happy. But when I, you know, when I spoke to the program director at one point, and, you know, and I had changed all of the words in the book from Hashem to God and, you know, things like that, they actually said to me, like, we don't want a book that speaks about in any way Mashiach, for instance, or a book that mentions God as being male as opposed to female. You know, it would have to change a lot. The books would have to change a lot to be appropriate enough, to be parav enough, that they didn't offend anyone at all. There's a lot of political correctness that they're dealing with, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the article, I mean, you talk a little bit about how, you know, there's some skepticism as what's going to happen with the industry because of low margins, and there's been a proliferation of books and so on. What's your general feeling? What do you think is going to happen in the Orthodox Jewish world, kids' literature? Where do you see that going?
I mean, I think that as long as there's Shabbos, which there will always be, we're always going to have books, because on Shabbos there's no Twitter and there's no Facebook and there's no video games and there's no videos. And the kids need to read. And, you know, if any publishing is threatened, we're much less threatened. Also, there's a lot of people who still have a lot of, you know, skepticism about technology. We do constrain our kids from, you know, free access much more so than other people do. You know, publishing is being threatened. I don't think Jewish publishing is at any risk at all. That's my opinion.
You know what? I think you're right. And look what we're seeing with the magazines. And today, by the way, every one of the magazines has a special section for kids. Today, even in the newspapers, you know, the news, the Jewish presses and the Hamodian, you know, whatever, they all have supplements today and all kind of other things. So it's an incredible thing what's going on. Sometimes you wonder if you could get by the Shabbos because there's so much to read. You don't know what to do first.
That's true. And the magazines actually have spawned new genres. In other words, the magazines that have these periodic, like, you know, serial stories written, a lot of them in, you know, graphic novel form, have spawned a lot of graphic novels in the Orthodox children's book selections.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to Yael, and good luck to you with your new book that's coming out, Shimi Shambone Will Not Go to Bed. Let's hope he does go to bed eventually. And it's been a pleasure, and I'm sure people are going to enjoy reading your article, and hatzlacha to you, okay? So be well, take care, okay?
Thank you so much. Take good care.
Bye-bye.